What's up, everybody? Paul Hickey here. Welcome to Sports Card Strategy Show, episode 54. I'm excited to be here with you guys. Let's talk sports card strategy. We are live on a Tuesday, November 1st morning at 8:05 a.m. Eastern time. Thank you for those of you joining us. I am in Valencia, Spain, after traveling to London in the UK for the London Card Show and for the Jags and Broncos game. And I'm excited to talk to you guys today about the London Card Show recap. And we're going to do our typical L of the week, W of the week, buy, sell, and some nooffseason.com updates. So thanks in advance to those of you joining us. I've got some B-roll from the London Card Show that I've got queued up here. But first, I have a very important question for you. Why vault your cards with the original marketplace? Because the eBay vault isn't just a way to protect what you collect. It's a new way to trade. Not only have your cards never been safer thanks to our secure, climate-controlled facility, but you're also locking in real savings. You pay no sales tax when you ship to or transact within the vault, and there are no storage fees for 2 years. Now just imagine everything you can do with all that money. And with the eBay Vault's seamless in-app experience, you can track, buy, and sell your cards in real time. From listing your cards in seconds with eBay Collection to tracking trends with eBay Price Guide, managing your collection is more seamless than ever before. The eBay Vault, buy, sell, secure. All right, everybody. So we're going to jump into my L of the week before we get into the London Card Show recap, which I know you're all tuned in to see today. And my L of the week is a guy that I actually saw play in London this weekend, and I have touted him for quite some time now, and that is Trevor Lawrence. So Trevor Lawrence, as you can see on my screen here, he's down quite a bit. Now, this is a card that is a 2021 Donruss rookie patch out of it's a rookie Phenoms jersey patch. Now, I bought this card for probably $30 last year. Had it graded at PSA. It came back an 8, which is not a great grade, obviously. And I think part of the reason why this is an L of the week for me is the 8. But I only sold it for $8.50. There's only 7 bids on it. But part of this is also Trevor Lawrence's performance over the last few weeks. Because if you would have sold them a few weeks ago, you could have sold him high, and I did say to sell him high a few weeks ago, but unfortunately, if you held on to him, and I wasn't able to move this card in particularly because of the 8 grade, but I did sell most of my Trevor Lawrence a few weeks ago. If you held on to him, you probably an L of the week for you as well, because he just pooped his pants against the Denver Broncos, in London at a Jags home game. And, I still think he's a great long-term prospect, but unfortunately, he's just not having the sophomore jump that I thought he was going to have. So my L of the week is Trevor Lawrence, unfortunately. Another potential L of the week, I did have a question come in from the audience about the 2022 Topps Formula One racing cards. If you've seen these, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen these, basically this is the flagship release that came out in September. Now, what was kind of confusing about this is last year it came out in March and it kind of went under the radar. So I don't really know exactly why it went under the radar. I think probably because it launched, it released right at the beginning of the NFL season. And even with some baseball hype and NBA hype, but a ton of NFL hype. So kind of a bogey for the Topps 2022 flagship F1 release. Also, there's no checklist announced yet, according to Cardboard Connection. That's probably the bigger L, because what I wanted to know about this release was there going to be an Enzo Fittipaldi card? That's basically what I was getting at. In this release, is Enzo Fittipaldi's F2 Future Stars card going to be in this release or not? Because he's a big deal. And these F2 cards typically are a big deal. Now, what's not a big deal are was the 2021 version of this card. So it's a paper release. It's not Topps Chrome. But yeah, there's just not much we've learned from this release so far. It's already been out for a couple months. So I'd love to know in the comments from you all if you were able to pick this release up, if there's anything you know about it, what's your experience been with flipping these? Have you been able to sell any on the secondary market for more than you thought? Are you holding? If so, why? Because I think that the Chrome release later this year is going to be the real release to own. So anyway, that's kind of an L of the week because I'm kind of into F1, and just for that release to totally go under the radar was really weird. So I don't think it's a great release. I would avoid it personally. Now my win of the week. So that was my L of the week. Now my win of the week is a card that I've talked about on this show quite a bit over the last few weeks, because it was a card that I bought from Chase Krim of Texas Roadshow Cards at the National. And it was this gorgeous Jordan Poole rookie ticket auto out of 2019 Contenders Ball at Chest Premium Edition. He did not think it would gem. I did. I didn't think the auto would gem, although the auto looks pretty good. The auto might have gemmed, to be honest with you. But I went ahead and had this card graded at PSA for $18. It came back at $10. So about $350 or so into the card, less than $375 into the card, 38 bids sold for $1,425. So that's a big, big win of the week for me. Paid for, shipped, authenticated through eBay's authenticator program, and the buyer's happy. The seller, myself, is happy because I profited about $1,000 on this transaction into my bank account already. So thank you. That is what it's all about, my friends. That is what it's all about. So that's probably my biggest win of the week ever on this show. We're 54 episodes into the show, and that's probably my biggest win of the week ever. So really, really happy about that. All right, so another huge win of the week, obviously, was the London Card Show. So I want to show some B-roll from the London Card Show. I'll kind of walk you guys through it. And it was in Easter, which is a town about an hour and a half from Wembley, which is where my son and I were staying. And so it was at the Sandown Racetrack. Here's a little B-roll of the Sandown Racetrack. It was kind of cool. We all came out at different points during the show, and we kind of sit on the bleachers of the racetrack. I brought my son Max, so he and I came out and kind of ripped some packs out in the racetrack itself. But it was in Easter Hall, which was Esher Hall. I was saying Esher, but it's pronounced Esher. In Esher Hall, sponsored by Topps, sponsored by some other companies. So here you can see some of what the show looked like. Esher Hall was pretty small, about the size of, like a high school cafeteria in the United States. So pretty small venue, but it was packed. And as you can see, it was hot. Everyone's just kind of wearing their T-shirts. There's Card Collector 2 next to my son. Nice to meet up with Card Collector 2. And I'll show you some more B-roll here. So from a card standpoint, it's about what I expected. It was probably about 75 to 80% soccer cards. There weren't many basketball and football cards. Although if you waited long enough, there's Soccer Cards United. Talk to those guys, Jason and Enzo. Great guys. That little trade corner over here. So it was a great setup. There's my son Max. If you waited around long enough, you really got to see some basketball and football, and a lot of people looking to move stuff. But a lot of soccer and a lot of plays to be made. Kind of cool. There's a Tony Hawk card, Larry Bird, Charles Barkley. So you didn't really pick up a whole lot of super high-end vintage basketball, baseball, football, barely any baseball. You had some vintage soccer. You did have some ultra modern wax to open. So my son and I ripped a couple packs of wax. This is a team all. So apparently in China, for those of you who don't know, what they do is they order like a mini hobby box. So that was like what I was just showing there is like a mini hobby box called a Tmall. And it basically just has the hits in it. So let me show you guys what the VIP pack looks like, because I did pull a move and get the VIP tickets. I actually was just going to get the regular tickets, but went and got the VIP because I was too late picking up the regular tickets. So I wasn't trying to really be a VIP, although it worked out well because my son and I were a little late getting there because we had to take an hour and a half's worth of train rides from the Wembley area down to Esher. And when we got there, the show had already started and I was able to skip the entire line. So I think I probably saved us about an hour. I skipped the line because of the VIP. Southern Soccer Idiot, good to see you here on the flagship show on a Tuesday. Thanks for the congratulations on the grade and the solid sale. I'll be interested to see what you think of my soccer plays from the London Card Show. Like I was saying, it was about 95% soccer and, 75 to 95% soccer. I did find some deals towards the end of Saturday. I only went on Saturday. Found some deals towards the end of Saturday on some football and basketball cards. I think some dealers that were there were just kind of looking to get rid of their football and basketball. What I was wondering was, how do they get their football and basketball in the UK? Mainly the dealers at the London Card Show got their football and basketball through breaks. So lining up breaks in the United States, buying from breaks and then having them shipped from the break. So, let's see if I can, I want to show a couple of photos, see if I can get them. So this, was a guy I met, Greg Lansdowne, and this is Card Collector 2. So let me show you guys this real quick. I'm going to present. So Card Collector 2, great guy, was not expecting to see him. That's Ryan Johnson from Card Talk Pod. Was not expecting to see him at the show, but it was good to meet him, and he was very helpful to my son, Max. There's Max on the right. I'm in the middle and Ryan's on the left, of course. Now, Greg Lansdowne, before I get into the VIP pack, I thought this was cool. He wrote two books about Panini stickers. So I'm going to talk more about this on upcoming soccer card strategy show episodes. So Southern Soccer Idiot, you may or may not be interested in this. But Greg wrote these two books. So I'm going to hold them up here. I bought them. I wanted to support Greg. So Stuck on You is one book. This is The Rise and Fall and the rise and fall of Panini stickers. So I thought this was cool. And then Panini Football Stickers, The Official Celebration, a nostalgic journey through the world of Panini. So I thought these were cool. I wanted to support Greg, an author who had put a lot of time into this labor of love, into these two books. And so again, you can see there's Greg and I. And I'd like to have Greg on the Soccer Card Strategy Show with Kendall and I at some point. But I wanted to share with you guys Greg's work on the show. And Google Greg Lansdowne, Lansdowne. In fact, actually, let me see. I think I have his card here. So this is actually kind of a cool card. This is his business card. I like it. It's a football sticker replica. So let's see. Follow at Greg Lansdowne on Instagram and support Greg or on Twitter at Panini underscore book. So Greg Lansdowne, GregLansdowne, author of Stuck on You, The History of Football Stickers in the UK. It's been since made into an ITV documentary. So I thought that was really neat. Great work, Greg. and we want to continue to support you. All right. So, VIP pack, what was the London card show like? You ask. Well, I showed you some B-roll. Now I'll talk more in depth about the experience and some of the plays I made. So here's my VIP ticket sponsored by Topps, Vault X, GTS, eBay, Eclipse, a couple other companies. I can't read their logo. The Grading Club. Anyway, great event. My son and I were both very, very impressed with just the amount of collectors and investors in the UK. And then also we were impressed with a lot of people that traveled from the United States for the show. We don't know if on purpose they planned the show for the NFL weekend in Wembley, but if they did, that was super smart. And I think that that was obviously a move that paid off, whether it was intentional or not. And so in the VIP pack, other than being able to get in early, there were a few cool things. There's some stands. Like, these are 3D printed slab stands from, this is from thirddown.co.uk. Thank you for that. Let's see. The Vault X experience. I didn't really understand what Vault X was doing, but I think basically these were their soft card sleeves. So I got some soft card sleeves for when Max and I ripped some packs at the show. We were able to sleeve them up. So thanks to Vault X for the card sleeves. Let's see, a couple of cool things. So some cards came in the VIP pack. Max ripped his open, but these are from the National, I think. So I got Topps, the National packs, Jude Bellingham star rookie on the front of this one, and Spencer Torkelson rookie on the front of this one. So Topps baseball and Topps soccer, Champions League soccer, and Topps baseball. I believe these are from the National. So they're exclusive to the National. And then Garbage Pail Kids. So my son was like, what the heck are Garbage Pail Kids? I had to explain it to him. He's 13. So he did not know Garbage Pail Kids, which makes sense. If you're like me and you're in your 40s, you remember Garbage Pail Kids making fun of Cabbage Patch Kids. And he just did not understand it. So Blood Eagle, great question. Thanks for joining the show. Appreciate you chiming in here. Do you think there could be a massive surge over the years of the hobby becoming bigger or as big as it is in the States? And do you think it would be positive on the market? And he means in the UK. Yes, that's a great question. Great timing for this question. I think that what I see are a couple of different things. In the immediate level, I see great growth already. So for London to have a card show that's as well attended as any local card show in the United States, that's a big deal. And for it to be as well attended, not only from a attendee standpoint, but also from a dealer standpoint with the inventory that's there, that's a big deal. Now, there were also folks that traveled out. Shout out to AJ and Sarah. Their company traveled out from Los Angeles, and we got a couple giveaways. They gave us a luggage tag, and then they also gave us some Panini Prism soccer to rip. So we didn't really get anything good in the Panini Prism soccer. But the fact that we had people like AJ and Sarah coming out from Los Angeles, you got Jason and Enzo from Soccer Cards United coming over from Ireland. You got a ton of other people coming from the U.S. You got Card Collector 2, Tyler from 1:37 p.m. and Card Talk. He was there. I talked to him for a while. You got these people traveling over, myself, for the show. Immediate growth, immediate growth. You've got a lot of dealers at the show that were participating in breaks in the U.S. so that they could get inventory for the show. You got dealers over there that are doing an amazing job collecting soccer and dealing soccer. And then I think that the other thing is I wanted to understand from a macro perspective, which does affect cards down the line, to anticipate future growth. I wanted to try to understand the NFL situation there. How popular has the NFL become in London, specifically in the UK? And a couple of different things. In the last 10 years since the NFL started playing their London games, basically the Jaguars have become very popular there. Other teams have grown slower. I would say there's still a ton of room for growth, and super smart move by the Jaguars making Wembley their home field, because they now have a pretty strong international fan base. You've got Duval being chanted over there consistently. And so I think that the growth of American football as an international sport will continue to happen over in the UK specifically. And this will have a very positive impact on the sports card market. I see the two not necessarily going hand in hand. I think they're going to, you know, cards are going to continue to accelerate as they have. And I saw that firsthand at the London card show. But then in the long term, the NFL is not going to stop. There's only going to be more and more London games, international games. There's a game in Munich in a couple of weeks with Tom Brady and Geno Smith facing off, I believe. And so I never thought I'd say those words. Yes, Tom Brady and Geno Smith facing off in Munich. And so it's going to continue to grow internationally in different countries. And I'm not sure what role Fanatics is going to play directly in that, but I'd imagine that Fanatics coming in is only going to help the distribution of cards, American cards, into the UK and European market. Right now, like I said, the distribution is basically through UK dealers breaking, participating in American breaks, and then having all of their cards shipped over all at once. But they have to spend a lot of money in breaks for it to make sense to have it all shipped over, which is kind of unfortunate for them in terms of a profit margin standpoint. But yes, great question, Blood Eagle. I only see it continuing to grow, and I think it's going to be great for everyone. So, all right, I'm excited to talk about, let me know if you have any other questions, by the way. So I've talked about overview of the London card show, VIP, people I met. Let's talk about some plays I made. I wanted Gavi. I wanted some Gavi cards. I needed to make some Gavi plays. I've talked about him a lot. And for those of you who don't know, he's the 18-year-old star midfielder on FC Barcelona and for Spain national team. He doesn't have any autos yet, and his rookie cards were in Topps and Topps Chrome, Topps Merlin, etc., 2021-2022. So I was able to find a dealer that had about 7 or 8 of these. This is just the base Topps Chrome Gavi. Nothing special about it. But I went through about 7 or 8 of his cards, and I found 4 of them that I believe can gem. So I'm showing you the 4, and you see he had them for £10 each. So there's this, the conversion rate, obviously. So these are priced at about $12.50 each, which is way too high. So I ended up getting all 4 of them for £20, which ended up being about $6 or $7 a piece, which I think is about what I would have paid for them if I would have had to order them on eBay and then have them shipped. So including the shipping, they probably would have been about $7 or $8 each. So I think I got 4 of them for a pretty good price, and I'm excited to have these graded at PSA. So that's the play. And if they gem, which I think they will, then there should be some profit in here for me. I did make another soccer play because I really, really love Gavi and Pedri. I picked up 2 more Pedri cards. One of them was actually from the same dealer later on in the day, an Obsidian Volcanic Auto. So this is in the Spanish national kit. It has a 180-pound sticker on it, but so that's like $200. But the most recent sale of this card was actually only about $125. So I was able to get him down to $125. I think this one can gem. It's out of 149 also, which is a big deal. So I think this can gem, and I think it'll sell really well. I don't think I'll be able to have it graded before the World Cup ends, because my plan is to go back and send these into PSA from the States. And I don't move back to the United States until middle of December. So let's see. These four cards will go in a PSA bulk submission. These four Gavis and this Pedri auto out of 149. Pretty excited about these. Everything else, I just kind of like let things come to me. Wasn't really looking to do anything, but I was interested in a few things. I was interested in what football cards were undervalued, not necessarily because the UK dealers don't know what they're doing with football, and not necessarily because the UK dealers don't know what they're doing with basketball either, but what football and basketball cards were undervalued just for whatever reason. Maybe they just were sick of looking at them, wanted to move them. They had specifically bought them to move at this show because they knew a lot of Americans and a lot of American collectors were going to be there. And so a couple of other plays I made, this CD Lamb HGA 9.5. I never thought I would buy a 9.5. I never thought I would buy an HGA slab, but this is corners, surface, and edges 9.5 and centering 10. This is a CD Lamb 2020 Panini Donruss Optic Rated Rookie Hollow. And after examination at the show, I believe it will gem at PSA, PSA 10. I think I got it for about 10 pounds. So maybe less than 15 US dollars. And in a PSA 10, this thing sells for, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I know it was over $50. So this CD Lamb, probably what I'll do is crack it, submit it raw with these other cards that I just showed, the Gavi and the Pedri. And so PSA won't know that it was HGA graded, and I'll get it back. Hopefully it'll be a 10. And then next August, when there's NFL hype, I'll sell it for as much as I possibly can, but it'll be more than 15 US dollars. That's for sure. All right. A couple other plays. I just found like these are simpler because these are Zach Wilson PSA 10s that I found. This is a blue rated rookie press proof PSA 10. And this is a, gold. There it is. Gold rated rookie, press proof PSA 10, blue rated rookie press proof PSA 10. The stickers say 60 on the gold and 45 on the blue. I think I got them for 50 on the gold and 30 or 35 on the blue, US dollars. So this one, the gold has sold for 111, 115 US dollars recently. And this blue has sold for about 60 or 70 US dollars recently. So these are easier. These are already in PSA 10. All that needs to happen is for Zach Wilson not to shat the bed. And for him to make it another 5 or 6 weeks with some hype around him. I know he just put up some stats against the Patriots yesterday or on Sunday in week 8, but they lost. The Jets lost, but they're still in the running. So I'm actually, for the moment, a Jets supporter because of these Zach Wilson PSA 10s. I don't have to do anything with them. All I have to do is sell them in December when I get back to the United States, and hopefully there'll be some hype around Zach Wilson. So before I get into my other plays from the London Card Show, we'll check in on the comments here. Blood Eagle says, yes, dude, I really agree with everything you've just said. I think with American football getting bigger over here in the UK and with F1 only just getting started in the hobby and it being such a huge sport, and soccer being huge, can't help that it will grow fast. Really appreciate your insight. Absolutely, Blood Eagle. And I think one thing I was surprised with is there weren't a lot of huge F1 plays to be made at the London Card Show. So I think that there's F1 is big over there, but for whatever reason, there weren't a lot of F1 cards there that I saw. Some dealers had 90 to 100% F1, but there are only like one or two dealers that had that. I know Ryan Card Collector 2 was looking for F1. I'd be curious to see if he found anything that he likes. Hopefully we'll have Ryan on the show. Still trying to get Lou Janoux on the show, who I met at the National and who I'm actually beating in our card football card content creator fantasy football league with Andy Kaysen. I am 8-0. So that's another win of the week. I'll just throw that out there. 8-0. Just beat Doug from Sports Card Investor with a big performance. Had DeAndre Hopkins stashed away on my bench. But anyway, let's get back to a couple more plays I made at the London Card Show. So I just am in love with this Cade Cunningham card. This is a red pulsar, Donruss Optic rated rookie red pulsar. Now, this grading company is Digital Grading Company UK. And I'll throw out their website here in a second. It's www.digitalgradingco.co.uk. So digitalgradingco.co.uk. And this guy, I want to have him on the show as well because he started the grading company. He's graded about 1,000 cards. It's digital grading. And he just seemed like a great guy. He was really, really good to Max and I at the show. And check him out. But I'm in love with this card. And so what I like about this is that, you know, he graded it a 94, which he equates to a PSA 10. I got it for £120, which is about $135-140. This card raw just came out. It's sold a few times for around that price raw on eBay. But my thought is, this will go in a PSA submission as well. I will crack this card out. It'll go in with the CD Lamb that I mentioned earlier from HGA, and it'll go in with some cards that Max got at the show. It'll go in with the Pedri and the four Gavis. So what I'm trying to do is bulk up enough cards to get to the $18 or even $15 bulk PSA submission. And then this Cade, I'm buying Cade. I mentioned Cade on the basketball card strategy show last week with Gary from Hoops and Cards. He's a guy that I am buying. And I'm really excited about this Cade card. This was another play that I think is going to pay off for me once I get it back from PSA, hopefully in the spring. I don't know if there'll be enough hype around Cade in the spring to actually sell it for a profit, but there certainly will be hype around Cade next season as well as the Detroit Pistons get better and better. All right. Southern Soccer Idiot, I didn't miss your comment there about the Pedri Obsidian auto. I'm jealous. Yeah, I got a market for it already. Maybe I'll sell it to SSI when it comes back a PSA 10. What do you think, SSI? Would you be interested in that in a PSA 10? I'm jumping the gun on the PSA 10, but sure is a nice card. Okay, here's another one for you, Southern Soccer Idiot. I mentioned Digital Grading Co. UK a second ago. This is a 100. This is supposedly his only 100, and it's a Pedri Merlin refractor rookie. So it's 2020 Merlin Pedri rookie. It's a refractor. And I know you can't see this card very well on my screen. This is supposedly his only 100, and Max and I are looking at this in person, and we say that this is probably the most pristine card we've ever seen in person in our life. It is just perfectly centered. I mean, there is nothing wrong with this card. No edge issues, no corner issues, perfectly centered, and surface looks amazing. So this Pedri is a 100 from Digital Grading UK. I don't really know what that means as of yet, but trying to decide, I got it for only about $55. So just knowing that these two cards are basically in like pristine condition, paid about the raw price for them, maybe a little bit more on the Pedri. I haven't really looked up what the raw price is on this Pedri refractor in a while, but I'm really excited to have the only 100 from Digital Grading Co. UK, and happy to support Digital Grading Co. UK, the London Card Show, and Greg Lansdowne, the author of these Panini books. Panini Football Stickers, The Official Celebration, A Nostalgic Journey Through the World of Panini, and then Stuck on You, The Rise and Fall and Rise of Panini Stickers. I plan on reading those books so that I can understand more about the history of not only Panini football stickers, but also just soccer cards in general. For the Soccer Card Strategy Show, the Sports Card Strategy Show, and NoOffseason.com. So before we wrap up Sports Card Strategy Show episode 54, I want to talk a little bit about a couple other things. So the Minnesota Card Show is a show that I've been asked to be a VIP at and promote. So the Minnesota Card Show, actually, I mentioned it on the Sports Card Strategy Show a couple months ago. And at the time I mentioned it, I think it was in June, and it was going to be at the arena, where the stadium where the Vikings play. Is it US Bank Stadium? I feel like it is. I could be wrong on that. But it is now going to be, it's changed. So it's changed venues and dates, which makes sense, because if you're trying to fill up an arena on your first ever card show, you might want to pivot if you're not getting the sponsorships and the dealers, people signing up for tables, et cetera, that you were originally hoping to get. But anyway, April 20th through the 23rd, the Minnesota Card Show will be at the Hyatt Regency Minneapolis, over 300 dealer tables. April 20th from 3 to 8 p.m. will be VIP only. The 21st, 22nd, and 23rd will be everyone. There'll be a trade night on April 22nd from 8 p.m. to midnight. This is the inaugural show. It'll be the largest card show ever in Minnesota. It will be the first ever card show in Minnesota aimed at bringing in people and dealers from across the country. For more info, visit cardshowmn.com. Happy to promote that card show and be there as a VIP in April. I will be back in the United States with my family in mid-December, as I mentioned, and just excited to support all that we have going on in the hobby. All right, so there is a buy of the week for me. I do have a buy of the week. So my buy of the week is Lewis Hamilton. Specifically, when I go to marketmoversapp.com and I use the promo code NOOFFSEASON, I get my first month for free, and so do you. So that's what I want you to do. And when I go to movements, and then type in Lewis Hamilton and then sort price change, I see that his 2020 Topps Chrome F1 Sapphire Edition base PSA 10, a card that I was not high on last year, a card that I was telling everybody not to buy earlier in 2022, now is a buy for me. Why? Because you got to watch the trends. It's down 42%. You can get it for only $510. And you can make, it was an $879 card 14 days ago. So you can make quite a bit of money on this card. And it's only a pop 498. So there's not that many, more likely to grade. You can see what's cool about Market Movers is you can see the population growth. So see here, like back when Topps Chrome Sapphire first came out, there obviously weren't that many graded. But I mean, actually, let's look at this. You can go all data, population growth. So from the time that Topps Chrome Sapphire came out in 2021, 2020 Topps Chrome Sapphire came out in 2021, started being graded in June that year. You had pop count under 100 all the way for the first 3 months. Then it goes from 100 to still under 300 all the way to March of 2022. Now from March of 2022 all the way till now, which we're November 1st, it's still under 500. So this pop count of this card has not spiked. And that's what I like about this. I really don't think you're going to see a big spike on this pop count. So for it to be under 500 still and be having been graded for almost 2 years, well, a year and a half, that's a good sign. So the fact that it's down 42%, there's a projected almost $400 profit margin in it. The play would be to flip it next March when F1 has another hype spike due to the beginning of that season coming up. That's the play to me. All right, so let's talk about some sell nows. I'm stuck on Sam Ehlinger. I'd like to know what you guys think about selling Sam Ehlinger. I think that there's two thoughts to this, right? One is that he could be the Colts starter for a while, and he could actually end up being pretty good. But the other thought is that he could just be a flash in the pan, one of those guys where he gets named the starter, he starts for a few weeks. That's when you need to sell his cards. I think I'm more on that end of Sam. We've added his profile to nooffseason.com along with a bunch of other guys this week. So check that out on the football card rankings. You can get your you can get a year for free if you email me at paul@nooffseason.com. Get a year for free of the premium subscription of nooffseason.com. So you can see what I think about Sam. I'm torn. My write-up is kind of going back and forth on him. I think there's some opportunity there. You could buy and hold because he's still super cheap, but also it could, you could just crystallize some profit from a guy that maybe you've just had sitting around for a while, maybe waiting for this moment perhaps to sell. If you have been, I would go ahead and do that. If you think that Sam could be the Colts starter for a while and you like the Colts to go to the playoffs this year with Sam as the starter, I would say, you know, you could do worse than Sam. Another guy is Ramondre Stevenson. So Ramondre Stevenson's cards are up. He's been hot the last few weeks. And so I think that Ramondre is a good sell. Why? Because he's a running back. And we talk about this all the time on the Sports Card Strategy Show, timing the market. To me, you sell running backs after big performances, especially when they've had a few in a row. Could he string more together? Absolutely. But now would be the time to crystallize some profit from your Ramondre investments. If you've already been buying him, now would be a great time to sell. If you've had some Ramondre sitting around for the last year, now would be an amazing time to list those and sell. Get some profit, reinvest it back into other cards that are more long-term investments. Again, go to nooffseason.com and email me at paul@nooffseason.com if you want a free year premium for free. If you just want to sign up for the premium package, you can save 20% by using the promo code nooffseason, all lowercase, at checkout. A couple other guys that I think would be good sells right now, Jacoby Brissett. So Deshaun Watson's coming back. Deshaun Watson's coming back. We're going into week 9. Deshaun Watson's coming back in week 11 after the Browns bye. There's going to be a QB controversy. Brissett's been playing really well. Just got a big win on Monday Night Football against the Bengals. The Browns are in it, but now is the time to kind of turn your focus to what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson cards. If you've been holding Deshaun Watson cards for a while, you're looking at probably a hype spike sell opportunity in the next about 6 to 8 weeks. Now with Brissett, it's a tricky one. If I were holding Brissett right now, I would definitely be listing him to sell. I'm not holding any. He wasn't a guy that I wanted to hold long-term. At the very least, there's going to be a QB controversy. Deshaun Watson has a crap ton of guaranteed money in Cleveland, and they're not just going to hand the job to Brissett because Brissett's been playing well. They're definitely going to want Deshaun Watson to come in and beat out Jacoby Brissett. So I would say sell of the week, probably would be Jacoby Brissett. And then I would look at Ramondre Stevenson and Sam Ehlinger, like I said. All right, let's talk about the moves. So who's been going up and who's been going down at nooffseason.com? I mentioned some of these names already, but let's just go through some of the people that I've added to nooffseason.com this week. So Geno Smith making an appearance. Kenneth Walker III making an appearance, moving up. Go check him out on the football card rankings. Micah Parsons has moved up quite a bit. One of our only defensive players, if not our only defensive player at nooffseason.com. Let us know what you think. Micah Parsons moving up quite a bit on the sports card investment report. Talked about Sam Ehlinger a minute ago. Bailey Zappi has been added. Weird that we saw Mac Jones just get his starting job back, no problem, and then beat the Jets this week. So it's really, really hard to understand what to do with Bailey Zappi cards, but there could be an opportunity there. And then on the basketball side of things, we've added three rookies on the basketball card side of things. So Paolo Banchero, so go check him out. Chet Holmgren, don't forget about Chet. I think now, I've said this before on the show, now is a great time to consider investing in some Chet Bowman U Autos. Go check out Chet on the site, Jade and Ivy. And Benedict Mathurin is another guy that is worthy of monitoring. So those are the guys that we've added, who's up and who's down at nooffseason.com this week. All right, everybody. This has been episode 54 of the Sports Card Strategy Show, solo episode with myself, Paul Hickey. Shout out to Kendall McKee, my co-host, who will join me on the Soccer Card Strategy Show later this week. Everybody, again, thanks so much for watching. Don't forget to email me at paul@nooffseason.com so you can go premium free for a year. I'm going to hook you up. And if you're already a member of nooffseason.com, email me anyway, and I'm going to hook you up with something cool as well. Everybody, thanks so much for watching. Don't forget to check out the eBay vault as well. And have a great day. We will be back again soon. I'd love to know what you think of the show in the comments. And if Kendall were here, he would say, cue the rock music.